So let's step back and look at this as a big picture. Give us the big picture. Of course, GAO investigates what Congress asks it to. What sort of things is Congress interested in investigating right now when you're looking at the landscape of federal acquisition?
The primary thing that Congress is interested in is making sure that taxpayer dollars are well spent. That when they provide funding for particular programs, they want to be sure that those programs are properly executed. And that's our job, to make sure that we provide the oversight to inform Congress about programs that are doing well and programs that are not doing so well.
If people follow the FAR, then they should stay out of trouble. The FAR is a big document. It's like the canon for federal acquisition. Is it too big or is it too complicated, or do people just not pay attention enough to the details?
It is a large document, Tom, but it is a very useful document, in my opinion. It has a table of contents, for example, that is very useful to any user, be it an experienced contract professional or a novice who just wants to get the big picture of how the federal procurement system works. It's also useful to contractors to understand what's expected of them. And it is logically arrayed in terms of requirements and competition and contract administration. So just about everything that a contract professional or anyone involved in the contracting process would need is laid out in the Federal Acquisition Regulation.
So when you're looking at your recent reports, no matter what the agency is or the specific topic, what sort of recommendations do you as GAO find yourselves making over and over again? In other words, what are agencies not doing that they should be doing?
We do see some common practices throughout the years and across many agencies. Fundamentally, it's a problem of not having a business case lined up at the outset. And what do I mean by business case? First of all, having clear requirements, clearly defined, so that all those both within the government and the contractor community understand what the agency is trying to achieve. Secondly, to have those requirements match up with resources to make sure that funding is available, that the technologies that are required are sufficiently mature and also available, and the right people are in place to execute these programs. So when we don't have requirements lined up and we don't have and when we have a mismatch between requirements and resources, that's when we see problems.
So in theory, then, one of the IT reform bullet points, really, that were put out by OMB a couple of years ago to go to smaller incremental development with much smaller sets of requirements, in theory, that should really help the government get to what it wants to get on time and in budget. Have we seen that yet?
That should help. And, in fact, we have seen evidence that programs that are designed with shorter life cycles tend to do better than programs that stretch out over time.
All right. So, but then when you get to something like a weapons system, we still have the same old problems because those just take decades.
They can take long, but the Department of Defense, and with the urging of Congress, is trying to move in a direction of programs that can be executed in a relatively short period of time, a couple of years, and not the years and years and, in fact, decades that prior programs have experienced.
We're speaking with Bill Woods, and he's Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO. Now, we've heard a lot on at Federal News Radio through our week-long report about the need for more of a federal acquisition workforce. And when you at GAO look and you make these findings about what agencies need to do, how much of it is a root, it has as a root cause the lack of trained workers? Is that really such a big deal, or is it more that agencies have the workers and they're just not doing things that perhaps they should be doing?
Our work would support the what you're hearing in terms of a workforce that has been decimated over the years, particularly in the mid-90s. There was a substantial cutback, and many in Congress have are of the belief that those cuts went too far. And our work supports the fact that a well-trained, that a capable and adequately resourced workforce is absolutely critical to the success of many of our programs.
All right. So what are some of the big investigations going on now? I mean, I guess the better way to ask is, what is Congress most concerned about that you're seeing as resulting in the workload for the GAO?
There are a number of issues that Congress is interested in. One is the acquisition of services, which now outstrips hardware items in terms of where the money goes. And services presents some unique challenges in terms of defining requirements, in terms of providing oversight, in terms of establishing the metrics of what we're trying to achieve. Another issue I'd mention would be suspension and debarment. Congress is very interested in making sure that we do business with responsible contractors and that we do not award contracts to those contractors who have a proven history of lacking the kind of integrity that we need to faithfully execute contracts.
And speaking of suspension and debarment, I guess going back to what we were talking about with the workforce, are you also finding a lack or a shortage of people who enforce these contracting rules and regulations, people who say that a company has acted badly enough to be placed on a suspension and debarment list? Are there enough people looking at those issues across agencies?
Well, the oversight community, and I would include those that whose mission it is to enforce the suspension and debarment rules, has been cut back, just as the frontline acquisition professionals have been. So they face their challenges as well. And in fact, when we looked at suspension and debarment programs that were active at a number of agencies across the government, that's one of the factors that we identified as having adequate staff, be it full-time, part-time, whatever, but having dedicated staff whose job it is to execute the suspension and debarment function.
Can't give out tickets if there's no cops on the corners, I guess.
That's exactly right.
And looking at that idea of the growth in services, now, a lot of service contracts come with products slipped in underneath. And so I wonder if you're looking at the possibility of wiring service contracts for specific products, which are just one level below the surface and might not be as visible as it would be in a pure product buy.
Well, you're right. These days, the services component of an acquisition can be just as important and, in fact, even more important in terms of maintenance, in terms of developing specifications. Those are all services that many programs need and rely on. And as I said before, those present unique challenges.
So the product part, in other words, is important to the ultimate requirement expressed as a service.
That's correct.